This is the podcast for passionate, sex positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
There she is, Sue McGarvey, the star of our show. Hey, girl.
Hi. I'm super excited to be here, too. It's going to be an awesome show.
If you say so.
Yep. I always say so. No, we have a great time on recording this show and love the questions. The questions have been coming in fast and furiously. I'm super happy about that.
Yep. Sue at sexwithsue.com. Of course, turnedonpodcast.com is our website. All right. Today on the show, there's a brand new species of bats. You'll find out soon enough why that's relevant to this podcast. You're going to be introduced to a 70-year-old dominatrix. Sue's got just a couple of spots left for a very exciting adventure in Mexico. She'll fill you in on that. We have a listener question, a bit of an exhibitionist. Okay, we're going to dive into that. Sex facts of the week, the number one red flag men have when picking partners, why we crave novelty, where men go wrong when it comes to casual sex with women. And gosh, you love your Florida man things, don't you, Sue?
They're so funny. Just so funny. They got it. Like, they write themselves. We got to put it in.
Listen, I've said it on, I do shows on several radio stations, as you know, every single week. And the number of times I billboard it saying, where would we be really without Florida man? Plus, Sue has a conversation coming up with Eden Fantasy. Think sex toys. You ready? Let's get turned on.
Turned On with Sue and John.
First up, Sue, a brand new species of bats. And this has made it to this conversation because, well, this new species of bats have a third arm that apparently is quite convenient.
Well, I don't know if they're a new species. They're called the Serotine bat. They're in Europe and Asia. But it has a penis that is 7 times longer than the vaginas of this bat, with a female bat, with a really strange, weird head. And they couldn't figure it out. Like, the scientists who study bats could not figure out what was going on. Well, turns out there's a Dutch senior, quite an elderly man, who was recording bat sex in the church attic where he worked, where he was visiting.
As you do. I mean, who doesn't record bat sex?
Apparently,
I mean,
he had a grid and the bats were on one side and the female bats were on the other. And he was watching, you know, the copulatory mating rituals of said bat. Anyway, okay. Turns out, and everybody I've talked to have been fascinated by this, turns out their penis is, you know, 7 times as large, has evolved into a third arm.
So, well, that's handy.
I know, right? You don't have a third arm when things you're trying to carry stuff. So really, you can carry it with your penis. Well, this time it's true. So what the bat does is it uses its hands to pin the female down by the nape of the neck, uses its penis to pull aside a special translucent membrane that covers their vaginal opening. And then they mate like birds, basically like lesbians, rubbing against each other to transfer sperm. You know, basically, this is dry friction, dry rubbing, dry humping is what they do. Only there's a little bit of moisture because there's some fluids transmitting. And that's how birds do it. It's called a cloquia that sort of grasps at that spot. But there's no actual bird penises. Same thing with this particular bat. They have a penis, but it's used to pull aside this membrane and grab things. I thought, wow, there you go. Another million years of evolution, boys, and your penis is going to be the third arm. Anyway, this Dutch researcher that, or this Dutch senior is now listed as a third research fellow in this paper, and it's gone all over the world. And I've been looking at this picture of this erect penis bat and the back bat penis, and it's crazy. Crazy. I think we need to do some visuals on the website on Turned On with Sue and John because it's jaw dropping.
Yeah, because the visuals I have, a little more on the cartoonish side.
Grasping penis, everybody. It's like this heart shaped head that looks like a Venus flytrap or something. Yep.
Hey, to the listeners of this podcast, now that you know this, I hope you will you know, spend a little time with your partner in the not too distant future and do the old, I'm Batman.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and blasttheradio.com.
Hey, Sue, I sent you this story. I'm so glad you loved it. She's a 70-year-old dominatrix, and she's all over social media. I'm so glad you fell in love with her, because I certainly have. She's fantastic.
She is, but, you know, like, there's 70, I mean, you know, the pictures of Suzanne Somers when she died at 77, you know, and she's still smoking hot, and, you know.
Oh, Dolly Parton at the halftime show of the Dallas Cowboys game the other day. Oh, my God. Hello.
Yeah, exactly. So you can be a smoking hot, you know, almost 80-year-old. Well, this 70-year-old dominatrix looks like everybody's granny.
She does.
She's got the short, permed hair. She look, you know, the glass. She looks like a granny.
Uh-huh.
And she is a pro-dom, and she's booked because everybody has a fantasy about their granny. You know, I guess, you know, the bulging cleavage and the house dress or something. So she does mainly age and toilet play. I was kind of grossed out by some of the things she does, but,
yeah,
you know, hey, it's not just because it's not my kink, it's not somebody else's. But yeah, she does a lot of toilet play, but speaking of how that is, and she's, you know, sort of different kinds of fetishes, I think it needs to tie into our question. I know you said you have it separate as a question, but I want to tie them together because there's different kinds of fetishes. I have, you know, lots of clients who have fetishes who are, you know, want to be tied up. They want lingerie. They want, I've got one who has this rubber bag thing, and they have to have green garbage bags on them. I have somebody else that has a thing for a certain type of lingerie that was popular like in the late 70s. So he literally travels the world finding this particular lingerie that he saw when he was a kid and has made an indelible impression. And that is the only thing that can get him up. And he travels the world looking for this.
So impressed by that. Oh my God.
I know. It's so weird. Anyway.
But it's awesome.
The question we had from a listener was, Sue and John, I have a thing about being an exhibitionist, but my thing is about movie theaters. You know, I lost my virginity in a movie theater. I got turned on in movie theaters. I said, I remember seeing, and his thing was American Graffiti. Again, talking about Suzanne Somers, because she was the girl in the white
right.
sports car.
Yes.
And being turned on by different movies. And he says, I now go with my girlfriend to the back of the movie theater and have sex. That's where I want to have sex. That is my spot. That is my fetish, is to go into the back and be an exhibitionist. But in this specific thing, he says, I'm not a complete creep. I only go to, you know, over 18 movies so that there's no children in the theater. But I have been almost caught about 8 times and I could be arrested if I keep going. What should I do? Which I thought was really fascinating. Anyway, before I dive into what I think, what do you think?
See, I'm not someone, I'm kinky as all get out. And I love that people do this and I celebrate that people do this. I'm not brave enough to actually be that person. And I marvel how, you know, we talk a lot about the Mile High Club. How and where, like how do the pieces fit? And maybe it's because, you know, of what I do for a living and whatever little bit of celebrity is attached to that, you know, I'd be front page news if I were to, you know, Pee-wee Herman, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What do you do?
Yeah. That's, you know, that's so, what's his name? Hugh Grant, you know,
right.
Hollywood Boulevard with the
right.
hooker, right? Yeah. It's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
I mean, my inclination is keep going to the movies, but I also, again, because I have this fear of getting caught, I sort of think of the adult movie theater, you know, that's showing specifically porn.
That you're sticky. There's one in town and it's gross, honestly. It's
I've
gross.
Never
it's
been,
Club
but
300.
I've heard,
it's really, and then they have a room right off it where you can go and bring up the hookers from Vanier. Like, it's scuzzy. Like, it smells like semen as soon as you're walking up the stairs. Like, it's not a nice place.
Okay, well, I was going to recommend that. Maybe not.
Well, and I'm sure maybe there are days where it's clean and it smells like ammonia, but I was there and I wouldn't sit down in one of those chairs.
Yeah, I don't know what to suggest here. I mean, watching movies at home obviously is not going to have, the same thrill,
thing. It doesn't have the same thing. So, all right. So here's, we do an interview later on in the show with Alexandra from Eden Fantasy, and she's done a year's worth of research about fantasies and how sex toys can play into it. And she's saying that there's a whole conversation. They've got a whole bunch of new product called, you know, Connection. And they have a whole discussion about anal plugs that you can use for all day use and app controlled for public play.
Nice.
So you can do that. You can be in the movie theater on your phone in the back row, but instead of having sex, you could be driving each other nuts with vibrator controlled, like anal plug or, you know, vaginal plug or clitoral stimulation through the whole damn movie. But you don't have to be, and that's discreet. You could do that in a way that makes it still feel like you've had an orgasm, but, you know, you may want to wear Depends, because, you know, if you have an orgasm, you're going to be messy for the rest of the evening. Ooh.
Are those really discreet, though? Because I see, like, a lot of people post on TikTok and Instagram, etc., where they've got one of those toys in, and it's remote-controlled, and someone is controlling that. They're in the middle of the grocery aisle, and I'll tell you, when that thing really gets going, the reaction is not very discreet, Sue.
Yeah, and it's loud. Some of them, especially, well, they can be muffled by thighs, but I'm just saying that's a better choice than whipping it out in the back, row of movie theater.
Yeah.
This email came from somebody who should start with the letter K and came to our Turned On podcast. And I thought, way to tie in the fetish of, you know, the granny dominatrix. If you decide you want to look for one that looks like your granny, as opposed to a regular dominatrix dressed up like your granny, she's the real McCoy in her 70s. And then you can play out your exhibitionist. I'm sure she can set up a movie theater, even if it's in her basement.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Warm tropical breezes, magical nights, swimming topless in your own swim-up pool room. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. Now it's time to dip a toe into the truly sultry, sensuous, sexy experience that is Temptations Resorts. It's astounding. Adult only. Topless, it's a magical place in the brand new resort in the Dominican Republic near Punta Cana. And I have a special deal. Put in 24 with Sue and get free ground transportation to and from the airport both ways and an incredible price just for listeners.
Go to temptation-experience.com.
Check on Temptations Michis. Put in the 24 with Sue code and your dates, and you're away. You'll be transported to someplace truly magical. That's temptation-experience.com and 24 with Sue. It's time.
Thanks for tuning in and getting Turned On with Sue and John.
At the end of this podcast, a bonus for you, a fantastic interview with Eden Fantasy. They are a sex toy company. And while we're on the topic, let's talk Mexico. You've got a very, very fun place in mind for open-minded people, Sue.
Well, you know, my friends, Jim and Cheryl, moved to Los Cabos. Like, they're living the dream. And so the Los Cabos, Mexico, south of California in the Baja Peninsula. And they said in January, all the baby whales are being born. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to go see the baby whales. Pick me, pick me. And they said, there is a yoga retreat that have these Arabian night style glamping yurts, you know, with the wooden floors. And, you know, looks like Lawrence of Arabia. Anyway, right on the beach, right where the baby whales are being born. And it's 24-hour security with a hospitality suite and a club nearby. And they'll give you breakfast and lunch and then on all the tours of the baby whales, plus a different activity every day, plus ground transportation, all for $1,000 US a person. They're like, yep, nobody can beat that. Like, nobody can come close to that experience and that price. And then you can do dinners at $5 tacos on the beach if you want. But it's completely, and we have the whole damn thing, which means you can frolic naked. And we have the whole thing. I have a few yurts left, not very many, but a few. And I'm looking for a few good people. who are okay with me streaking, who are okay with frolicking with the group, who want to see baby whales, who think it's going to be awesome to come and join us. $1,000 per person, double occupancy. If you want your whole damn yurt, it's $1,800, but doesn't matter. Come. I have a few spots. I'd rather give them to listeners than put it out to like random Facebook people. So come find me, you know, Sue at sexwithsue.com. Send me a note. We can actually even have a call about it. I have a few left. We're going January 20th to 27th, and it's coming up fast. So it's, I always say it's the coldest week of the year where we are, and it's that blue Monday where everybody's depressed because it's like the gloomiest day of the year.
Right.
So we should be in Mexico.
Always fun when Sue digs up sex facts. Here they come, your sex facts of the week. It's turned on to Sue and John.
Well, there's another space thing. I know, you know, right? You know I was going to do sex in space again.
You emailed it to me. You warned me. You said, you know we have to talk about this.
We have to talk about this. Apparently, being in space, you not only are you worried about gravity and your muscle tone, apparently the muscle tone is a thing because your penis has got some muscle tone in it and it loses your ability to get an erection in space. So we're now worried about babies and how you're going to give birth. That was last time.
Right.
This time we're worried about you can even get it up. So apparently long-term space, and I guess they have to know, the Mars people, you know, the people who are going to do the mission for Mars, have to worry about being able to keep it up, get it up, in terms of working on that. I know there was a new study that came out that said 1 in 5 people check their phone during sex. Really?
I knew somebody.
I had a client and they came to see me and he was bitching and she's like, I don't understand it. And he's like, she reads her book while we're doing it. And I'm like, okay.
No. The phone should only be used in the bedroom if you're taking selfies while doing it. Okay.
Or watching, playing porn, or having that erotic music going in the background.
Sure.
Yes, but 1 in 5. 1 in 5.
Oh,
so 20% of people.
Oh, my God.
I know. ADHD people, that would be you and me. Apparently are better in bed, but we're hard to satisfy because you're like, show us the shiny new thing, right? That was the whole discussion about Eden Fantasy. Everybody's looking for what's new in sex.
Okay, you're speaking for yourself there. I'm very easy to satisfy. Just show up.
Just show up.
Just
well, no,
be
it's,
there.
In terms of do that. Yeah, there was a whole thing about, you know, women and low libido. And there was another new study that said that what you want to do is not just read erotica to boost women's desire, but write erotica. On the good news is there's a lot of new supplements that are coming out for women. And I'm still loving that VitaFlow from Promucent. And my friend Andrew is like, Sue, you got to post this link. And I'm like, yeah. Promucent, Promscent. And it stands for, you know, sort of the, yeah. Anyway, it's kind of a strange name, but a great company. And they do that delay cream. But I'm telling you, if you want to increase your arousal levels, you want to be writing erotica.
I'm telling you.
So,
you know, a little while ago, a few episodes ago, in fact, I was liaising with our friend Lacey, who wrote to us last week, and I sent her the first erotica I ever wrote, and she's encouraging me to write even more. There's something that I really, really enjoyed about writing erotica. I've never done it before, but it was really exciting. So, yeah, do that.
Yeah, do that. So everybody needs to write erotica. It turns you on. So some of the interesting sex facts of the week and why we need to up things, the arousal, and worrying about our space people. I am worried about it. I want to study sex in space. I really do. That's my next career.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
She's Sue McGarvey. I'm John Milky the Milkman. The number one red flag men have when picking partners, Sue.
Okay. So people think, okay, it's big boobs. No. That's a preference. It is, some people like small bouncy ones. It is, or some people like you like them all. Or
like I said, just show up, just be there.
Yep. Sometimes it's about sense of humor. Sometimes it's just about I want a sweet girl that's kind. I need sanity. You know, those, all of those are good. And the number one red flag about insane women, I think, is really important. There's a lot of people I've talked to who said, just make sure you're screening for sanity. But it turns out that 65% of men say that this is their number one red flag. It is political leaning.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. 65%. So if you are, you know, left of center and you've got somebody who's, a Magna supporter, probably not a fit at the best of times, but they said that is their biggest red flag for whether or not they actually date that person.
It's not the answer I would have given had you just asked me outright. But when you think about it, yeah, I mean, the whole world is so contentious right now because it's very left and right, and there's not a lot of us in the center. So, yeah, that can be a very complicated relationship.
It may be something when we're talking about dating and about hookups. They're saying that the hookups, even then, it comes up that they would not sleep with somebody that they think that they thought was politically. Like, if they're a right-leaning person, they're not going to sleep with what they deem as a socialist and vice versa.
Mm.
I know. So we're going to, I don't know what that says for the population, but I was gobstopped. I'm like, 65%? That's crazy shit. But turns out that's what's going on. I know. So if you're picking somebody and you're having dating, and I just did this whole dating conversation about what's new in dating. And apparently LinkedIn dating is the next new thing. And there's something called burn the haystack, which is an anthropological sort of process saying that if you're on the date, any kind of dating app, what you do is anybody you say nine to, you don't like, you're not interested, you're a hard pass on them. Not even a hard pass, a medium pass. If you're not going to say this could be my person, you block them, because then it forces the algorithm to only show you new people and the top 25% in your range.
Oh my God.
So you may only get one or two matches a week, but those matches are quality, so you're not wasting your time.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
Guys, let's talk girth enhancement and penis enlargement. Introducing Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment.
My name is William Moore, and I developed the Fallowfill male enhancement procedure, and I have pioneered the use of hyaluronic acid dermal fillers for penile girth enhancement. Fallowfill is the first non-surgical procedure to be recognized by the American Urological Association and the North America Sexual Medicine Society. Our procedure is safe, 100% reversible, and offers a true, undetectable, reliable, aesthetically pleasing result.
Fallowfill has treatment locations across the continental USA and in Montreal.
We increase girth in both the flaccid and the erect state, which will help you show better and perform better. The procedure is performed in office under local anesthesia and is about 20 minutes.
Read more online at fallowfill.com. That's PHALLOFILL.com.
If you are suffering from social and psychological effects of having the perception of a small penis, we are here to help you.
Tell them you heard this ad on Turned On with Sue and John and receive a free counseling session with Sue McGarvey on what to expect and how to improve your performance with a new, thicker, larger penis. Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment. Fallowfill.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Hey, still to come, Sue and an interview with the gang from Eden Fantasy right now on Turned On with Sue and John. Why we crave novelty.
Okay, it's called the Coolidge Effect. Now, you may have heard the story. This is the former President Coolidge, who's visiting a farm and his wife is with him. So Mrs. Coolidge is looking around, and apparently the rooster is all over this particular hen. Like, they're, you know, going at it for a while. They're very frisky. He's on, you know, lots of animal mating things going on in this barnyard. And Mrs. Coolidge turns to the farmer, the guide, whoever she's with, and she said, please point this out to the president, that how attentive this particular rooster is to the hen. And the president shows up and you know, the guy says, your wife wanted us to point this out. And he said, is this the only hen that he's like that? And they said, no, he does this to all of the hens, and in fact is more amorous when there is a new hen. He says, please report that back to Mrs. Coolidge. So it's this idea that novelty apparently across every species. So this rooster could do every hen in the barnyard, then go off and hang out, you know, just, you know, start eating and whatever, until a new hen comes in, and then he's got to do them all again. Same with rats, same with anything that's new. Apparently it's women, it's men, it's across all species, that anything new And I think men are, you know, human men are fundamentally and biologically attracted to whatever's new.
Guilty.
Women for sure, about novelty, about doing it in different places or having new things, which is why I tell people, if you want to spice it up, pretend you're somebody new, new perfume, new accent, new hair thing, or go to, you know, get on and find a whole pile of inexpensive new toys, Eden Fantasy, and figure out, you know, how to add something novel to your sex life. It's going to ramp it up each and every time.
You know,
so that's the issue.
You know that show Modern Family? There's a great scene where Phil and Claire do exactly that. They go to a bar, adopt different names, different personas, and they kind of get caught. But it's a scene that stands out. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. It's so hot.
So that's the way to do it, everybody. Add some newness. Just, it'll work every time.
Yummy.
This is the podcast for passionate, sex positive, and pervy people. Turned On with Sue and John.
Holy moly, you brought a lot of stuff to the show today, Sue, and we're not done yet. Next on the agenda, where men go wrong with casual sex with women.
Yeah, there was a great article in British Vogue that talked about this, and it came up as well with one of my clients this week. She was talking about, I'm doing a lot of sort of dating over 40, and she was talking about how hard it is to, you know, she said, I'm, you know, especially different times where I'm ovulating and I'm like really horny or right before my period. And she says, I really want to get laid. But if I hook up for a casual encounter, I have the awkward walk of shame morning after. And, you know, we've been having brutal aftermath of sex, of casual sex for millennia. Like this is not a new thing, right? It's an intimate act. Even if our hookup culture tells us it's just, you know, relax, it's just sex.
Right.
It is still, you know, it's still a very intimate thing. And people can be really attentive and sweet before you have sex. But that morning after, where they're fumbling for their shoes and their pants in the corner, can leave an abyss. And they're saying that, you know, that really working on the aftercare, and it's because of, we've been talking about oxytocin, why it's the cuddle one, and that women produce 10 times as much. So that women regret casual sex because they don't get that aftercare. So that's something that you can take from the kink community in terms of doing aftercare to really do that, because it brings down the oxytocin and you're not left with a regret. I knew a guy who was really good at it. He would look into their eyes and they'd all fall in love with him, but he could get anybody, you know, and these women would be calling him ages after the experience going, you wanna? And it turns out that women regret, you know, casual sex more because of this drop. Men regret the ones that got away, that they didn't do these particular. Their post-sex blues is not anxiety and depression the way women do. It's regret that they didn't pick up the redhead at the bar. It's the regret that they didn't do the twins. It's the regret that, yeah. So that's where men go wrong, is that they don't, if they want to replay performance, that women talk, you want to make sure you are taking care of the aftercare. Have some kind of, you know, I hear guys, like I have one client who has a piece of dryer lint in his pocket when he goes out so he can put it on women's arm and pick it off her and say, oh, you had this on your shirt.
Oh, come on.
I'm not kidding. So that he can touch her without seeming like he's creepy. I think if you had in your bag for the next morning, I don't know, you know, night before, you know, on your way out, you pick up muffins for the morning, or you have some kind of, you bring your own packet, you know, your own little knapsack with wipes, and you can give her sort of a talcum powder rub down the next morning. Let me do this before we're leaving. Some kind of morning aftercare that leaves them that you're unique. I think you completely stand out in the marketplace.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Where would we be without all things Florida? It really is true. Some of the craziest, nuttiest things, and God bless them, because it makes my show fantastic, happen in Florida, including, well, something went a little wrong at Disney in Orlando, Sue.
Yep. I've been many, many times. I have a girlfriend who works on the website at Disney. Hi, Amy. And she can get four people in a day. So I have been to the parks many, many times because I've had a house in Central Florida for a long time. But it's the small world. It's been a dated, sort of vintage ride at Magic Kingdom. Well, apparently Florida man got there, was high as a kite, and took off all his clothes and waded in. It's a water ride. So you get into the little things and you walk around and you go on the ride and it's a small world app. Anyway, apparently a guy was naked frolicking in the small world, sort of traumatizing. Apparently he was right out of it, uh-huh. Traumatizing families in Magic Kingdom. And the second one this week, Florida woman is on a plane going back to Florida. And she's mad because she can't get out of her seat because the seatbelt sign's on. You can't go to the bathroom. And she needs to go to the bathroom. And she starts cursing and banging and getting up. Uh-huh. And the flight attendant's like, lady, you got to sit down. Uh-huh. She decides to flash everybody, lifts up her skirt, no underwear, flashes the whole plane, and squats as if she's going to pee
in
the
aisle. Right.
And I think there was enough people that stood up and grabbed her. But anyway, the things that happen in, just public places, nudity, peeing all over the aisle, things that go on in Florida that considered accepting. And I don't know why I want to do that. I just think Florida man writes itself and it's a nice way to end the show.
I can't wait to see it firsthand, Florida. I'm coming to see you in January. Oh, the stories we will have here on Turned On with Sue and John.
You're listening to Turned On with Sue and John, and I'm joined by Alexandra Modeskova. She's from Moldova. It's a cool little country between Ukraine and the Eastern Europe, and she works for a really cool company that I've been following for a while called Eden Fantasy, and they are a sex toy company that do things differently. And what they do is they do a lot of community, but they're also doing a lot of research. And I know you're thinking everybody wants to do research around sex toys, Sue, but no, they really do. So Alexandra, I got her on and she's here to talk about this amazing research. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me, Sue. It's a great honor to join you. And I'm very excited to talk about Eden Fantasies and what we're doing for our community and for our customers as well. It's been a really tough couple of years working. We came up with this system that we call personalization, which is basically vital for every e-commerce site, every shop on-site or off-site, but we made it really personal, really based off a spirit, a human connection, not like just the robot things that Amazon does or other people also buy. But right. We made it really, we made sure we were trying to connect with people's essences and their fantasies, and that's where it is.
Well, and there's nothing more personal than your fantasies or your sex toys, right? This is very exactly. Personal, so and intimate and creative. So that's very cool. So you told me was you did a lot of research about how do you personalize your sexual experience if it's, if you're doing it by yourself or as a couple, and how did that start?
So it started mainly with our desire to offer something different than all of the industry is doing, because it's very plain, it's very technical. Like, you go on a sex toy website and you're offered this type of tech or this type of tech, and it rarely actually touches anything personal, anything ethereal, like fantasies, like some deeper desires. We all our marketing is all about deeper desires, but we rarely base our content or our offers on it. So that's where the search started, because we wanted to offer something deeply personal, something that evokes deeper connections, deeper response. Because when you're going shopping for, kitchenware on Amazon, you're talking to that specific part of yourself that tells you that you need something and that need is very practical and rational, but when you're going to shopping for sex toys, the need is very primal, it's raw, and you cannot really rationalize it within yourself. And that's really tough to work with as marketers. So the first thing we did, we tried to detach ourselves from perceiving sex toys as tech. So we are all, as an industry, we are very focused on how the toys work, what types of body parts they stimulate. Right. So it's very technical. And you cannot basically go around sex toys without talking about those sensations. Mm-hmm. So that's what we did first. We came up with the sensation value for every toy on the website. We have
sensation value. Ooh, a sensation value. It's going to give you little tingles in these spots. So yes, you have ones that are like a sensation value of 10 or turn it up to 12. Oh my goodness. Okay.
It's not numerical. It's kind of like what type of sensation this toy brings.
Okay.
It's like your basic stuff, like how a rabbit works. It brings like dual stimulation, or right. How an anal plug works.
It stimulates those anal nerves, right?
Yeah, it's very straightforward. But then once we settled on these sensations for every single product on website, and I mind you, we have almost 2,000 products on website, so right. It wasn't easy.
No.
We tried to take a step further and make them from sensations to fantasies.
Okay.
So what we did, we took the sensations and we kind of gave them an angle. Applied them to a person, so
right.
There is just, for example, clitoral stimulation from a clitoris toy, whatever clit stimulation.
Right.
But if you give it a personal angle, for example, there is the person is pursuing selfish pleasure, mm-hmm. for their own, taking care of themselves, or they're using on their partner to arouse them.
Right.
So it's like the same sensation, but it's applied in different scenarios, put in different spaces, in different hands, for achieving completely different experiences, even though the sensation, so the toy, remains the same.
Right. So it's different kinds of sensation, and you can buy this toy and you can use it for these four things. Because I used to say to people, you know, like some of the early eggs or the finger vibes, I'm like, look, not only can they offer clitoral stimulation, but they're great around the head of the penis, the back of the testicles. You can use them inside, you can use them outside, and they're great for different things. So you take one toy and give it different
exactly.
ways.
What you described are sensations, and we're putting them in the context of fantasy, which is arousing your partner or being a better partner yourself in bed, and all of those are like marketing venues that we can use to communicate with the customer and to present the product to them,
right? Because
so that was the intention.
People want to know, you know, I know you spent a year of your life researching sensations and sex toys, which is why I wanted to talk to you, because there's not a lot of people doing this, and to say exactly why this is going to work and how it's going to work for you. And so that you don't have to make guesswork. I can't tell you, I'm doing a kinky garage sale this weekend. And yes, it's going to be great. So all the samples I've had, and I'll often get two of the same toy and I'll try one. And if it leaves me cold or I'm not a big fan, I can't keep the unopened package, and all the money's going to the food bank. So I'm happy to donate the unopened toys to sell in the kinky garage sale, because I talked to so many people who gave me toys who said, Sue, you know, can you use these as demos? Because I spent the $250 on it and it was awful. I didn't like it at all. And I tried it and I tried it and I didn't like it. And so when you have descriptions of what it could possibly do, as you said, as opposed to saying this is a shiny new thing and oh good, it's pink, you can actually
stick it up your butt, that we say
too. Yeah. Or you can stick it up your butt, right? And here's here are some other options, and here's what it works for, and here's how you use it for fantasies, and here's what it's good for, here's what it's not good for. I think that's great. I think it saves you a pile of money because you're not making bad mistakes with bad sex toys, or at least sex toys that may not be bad, but they may not suit you.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to communicate with this research that we've been using for our marketing purposes. Of course, it can have a lot of other uses, much more humanitarian, I suppose. But for now, we're trying to implement it on site to personalize our offers to our customers. So we are trying to acknowledge some patterns in how a customer shops. Right. For example, when a person buys like a rabbit vibrator and I don't know, nipple clamps.
Yes.
So we try and imagine what type of scenario, what type of fantasy that bundle
that
of
combination
that bundle of sensations can result in.
Okay.
And that's what we're marketing, not the product itself.
It's a marketing how this feels for you, what the experience could look like, how do you incorporate it, what's your story, give me the story of what this is. So once upon a time, there was a woman who was really nipple, you know, she was, her nipples were really sensitive and she liked the clamps. And if you add vibration to the actual clamp, she went over the top, you know, that kind of thing, right?
Let me give you a really good example because, what you're describing are sensations. We are trying to move on from them to fantasies because here's what I mean. So we have, for example, like dildos and realistic vibrators and stuff, but we're calling this, that we have a sensation penetration.
Right.
It's plain and simple as it is.
Got it.
But the fantasy from it is penis imitation. So like a perfect lover fantasy.
Got it.
Like a fantasy of a perfect penis that you could never have, or you had something.
Yes.
Or
yeah. It would belong to the one that was you know, the first love that you had.
The one that got away.
Yeah, yeah. Got hit by a bus and you could never recreate it. But here is that, you know, because it's funny you should say that, because I do it with some of my clients. I had some of them going in for prostate surgery. And we'd get the dental molds, you know, when you get your teeth molds, and I'd actually send them home with a kit and say, I want you to make a cast of your erect penis, and I'll send it off to the, because I have a guy that turns them into dildos. So it's a cast of your partner's penis before they may lose their erections in a way, or their penis is changed because of prostate surgery.
That's kind of adorable.
It isn't it? You should be covering that, carrying that stuff. It was so cool. It's like this dental seaweed stuff that turns this cast. And I'm like,
I think
this is at home.
I think
so you could make
some kind of product like this, like
make your own body parts, and then you turn them into things. You know, I've seen the anal chocolate, right, where you could do a mold of your partner's butthole, and then they send them off, and then they turn the mold into little chocolate. I know. Anyway, it's we digress, but I think it sounds
super
fun.
The person's vote.
I think it sounds really cool. So, and from those fantasies, you can say, if you're looking for this perfect penis, here is the, you know, here's the
exactly.
example.
So yeah. it can be a perfect, a person could be looking to recreate a perfect lover. A person can be looking to recreate a lover they imagined, for example, reading or something. Or it can be something else completely. For example, we imagine that our customer is a couple who primarily focuses on her pleasure, for example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it can be, for example, BDSM-ish in its nature, or it can be worshipping her. All of these little scenarios that we hyperbolize them to explain to us better how to understand those patterns. But even a little bit of every relationship, not even a kinky one, has some sort of preferences, some sort of fantasies that lie beneath all the actions that person does in the bedroom.
Right.
So we use those fantasies as a language that we try to talk to our customer with to understand them better and to help them understand us better.
That's a great, you translate it. There's a Star Trek episode about that, using analogies and fantasies as the language. I think it's brilliant. I hadn't heard anybody else doing this. So that's why I was so excited when I got to talk to you, because I'm thinking nobody else is doing that. This is really cool. So you can find, I loved, you know, when I was talking to your team earlier and saying their job is to try and find new sensations, because everybody's looking for the shiny new thing, especially in sex toys. But to say this shiny new thing is going to give you really great sensation. And you have it translated not only just sensation, but let's go one step further and let's say we want the fantasy. What does the fantasy bring you back? Because it's not just the value, what is the motivation? What drives you to get to that value? Yeah. Fun. So what was that? Was anything surprising?
Everything. Every day is a pure surprise. I've been working in Eden Fantasies for 10 years already, and we have a wonderful community forum. And every day I've been mingling on that forum. It was a revelation, because there's so much. I've been learning, you know, abstract things when I went the dark corners of the internet, learning about all of the different sexual practices and fantasies. But when you're talking to real people who are not afraid of sharing their intimate experiences, because that's what our forum and our community was actually all about, they share these things, they look to inspire other people, and I get educated a lot even after 10 years of working over all of this.
Yeah, I'm almost 30 and I get the same sensation. It's like there are days where I'm like, I love learning new things about sex. It's so exciting when there's new things to learn. So no, that's awesome. So if everybody wanted to try out your forum or your community, or have a look at the toys that you're listed based on fantasy, where would they go?
They would definitely go to our website, which is edenfantasies.com, and you can just browse. We have a lot of really fun product descriptions, which we base off of those fantasies I've been talking about. So we're not having our products descripted like on the Amazon website, like,
right.
Yeah, you can put it there and it's this color. Yeah. And it has so many intensities. No, we're trying to promise you an experience that you're going to have, explain that experience, and ignite passion within a customer.
Yeah, it's about the story. It's all about the story. And what is the fantasy is nothing more than an elaborate story that's very personal and in your head. I'm thinking this is really fun. So I'm going to invite our listeners to write their fantasies and figure out how we can apply them to sex toys and sex devices and sex creams and all the things you're doing. And to see,
you definitely should. Our forum is a playground and it's really fun to hang out in there.
I bet it is. Oh, all right. We've been talking to Alexandra Matsuova. So she's in Moldova and she works for Eden. That's Eden fantasy.com. Alexandra, thank you so much.
We have an S at the end.
Fantasies. Eden Fantasies. Okay, got it. Yeah. And so don't miss it, because they said go hang out on their forum. It's one of the coolest things I've come across in a while.
Thanks for tuning in and getting turned on with Sue and John. New episodes every week. Get in touch. Find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.